Good morning and happy Sabbath to everyone. Whether you are joining us here in our sanctuary or joining us abroad, we are so thankful that you are here to worship with us together. To start our central study hour, we will be singing hymn number 529, Under His Wings. God, we can safely abide under His wings. If there is a favorite hymn that you like to sing, you can go ahead and request it on SAC Central website at www.saccentral.org. Click Contact Us and select Hymn Selection, and there you can put your favorite hymn, your name, and where you're from, and that way we can sing your favorite hymn here today. For our next song, let's go ahead and turn to hymn number 286, Wonderful Words of Life.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful wonderful abundance of life. Christ, the blessed one, gives to all wonderful words of life. Sin enlists to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely
this morning, Brother Bona will be giving us our lesson study entitled The Plagues. It is number 4 in your Sabbath School Quarterly. But before he comes up here and presents, let us bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity to worship you in freedom and in peace. I ask, Lord, that as we continue our study hour, that you be with us. Open our hearts and minds to receive your word today. Please be with Brother Bona as he presents the Sabbath School lesson study. Forgive us of our sins today, Lord, and please come again soon. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you.
Thank you, choristers. Happy Sabbath, everyone.
Happy Sabbath.
Good to see everyone in the church here. And we will continue with our lesson study, still in the series of Exodus. We're going to be going through lesson number 4, The Plague. Exodus is one of my favorite books in the Bible. And if you like to have this presentation, we will be happy to send you CD or DVD. Please refer to offer number C202530, or you can call us 916-457-6511, or you can write us to csh@saccentral.org. We will be happy to send you the presentation for this Bible study. We will begin lesson number 4, The Plague. As you can see in the study, a stubborn donkey refused to move. And the farmer pleads, pulls, and pushes. But the animal won't budge a thing. Yeah, not even an inch. Finally, the farmer picks up a thick stick and gives the donkey a firm smack. Of course, for animal activists, we don't agree with these. But when they ask why he did that, and the farmer calmly replies, first, you have to get its attention. Yeah, and brothers and sisters, sometimes God must get our attention.
Amen.
Yeah, and the story of the plagues in Egypt is not only a tale of ancient miracles, and also not only talking about the Pharaoh's stubbornness. It's also a story about how God lovingly but firmly calls us when we refuse to listen to his voice. And Pharaoh wasn't simply deaf to God's voice. Yeah. He was hardened by pride, power, and also self-interest. Now, even today, many of us are like pharaohs of Egypt. We are sometimes acting like the millennium pharaoh. Yeah, we are too comfortable, we are too busy, We are too committed to do things that benefit us than to hear the soft call from our God. Sometimes God must raise his voice through circumstances that might be shaking us, but the purpose is not to destroy us, but to draw us back. Yeah. I would like to read from the Spirit of Prophecy from the book of Patriarchs and Prophets, page 268. There was no exercise of supernatural power to harden the heart of the king. God gave to Pharaoh the most striking evidence of divine power, but the monarch stubbornly refused to heed the light. This is really a powerful light. God basically didn't make the king's heart hard. He showed Pharaoh clear signs of his power, but the king still chose to ignore them. Then the question for us simply, what will it take for God to get our attention? Will we listen while his voice still tender, or will we need a firmer nudge? Yeah, just like Pharaoh did, God gave him a little nudge. Today we will be studying and explore the plagues. And that's not as an ancient history, but a living lesson for us about what God is still willing to do to rescue his people and soften and the hardened hearts. Yeah. Well, let's dive into Sunday lesson. Yeah, Sunday lesson, God versus gods. Yeah, we will see who has the final say. Yeah. This is like the battle between God and gods. Have you ever trusted something only to later realize that it was powerless to help you? You trusted something, but then later realize it didn't do anything good to you. Many of us put our trust in our wealth, our money, maybe also our physical fitness, six packs probably, high educational degree, master, bachelor degree, doctorate degree, professor probably, or status in the community, positions possibly, or you may have big influence in the church, or maybe you have a highly respected job as a, or profession, or maybe even talents in church. Yeah, trusted something that later powerless to help us. But these things can quickly prove to be a false foundation, believe it or not. Yeah. In Exodus 7, verse 8 to 15, that's the text that we'll be discussing. In that text, we see that a direct confrontation between the living God and the false gods of Egypt. Yeah? The living God versus false gods of Egypt. This is a direct confrontation. Now, Pharaoh, who thought himself a divine, stood in proud defiance of God. Yeah. But God was not battling Pharaoh alone in this situation, in this story. He was waging war against all the false gods Egypt trusted. Not just Pharaoh, but all the false gods that Egypt trusted. That's what God is up against with. Now, the lesson we can take from this Sunday lesson is that the battle was not just political, it was spiritual as well. Yeah. God declared in Exodus 12, verses 12, on all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. Exodus 12, verses 12. Pharaoh was not merely a king. He was considered God by his people at the time. Yeah, not only that he's a king, but people treat him and like a divine, like a god. Yeah. And the background to this story is that Egypt already been worshiping more than 1,500 gods and goddesses at the time. So many god and goddesses. Yeah. And one of the most revered symbols was the serpent. Like we can see that in the Sunday's lesson. One of the most revered is serpent. Yeah. And this serpent is a divine, it's a sign of divine authority. Yeah, power and also protections that the people of Egypt really hold on to. But what will happen? God was about to expose their false hopes. We will see in a moment. Patrician Prophet, page 264, further explained, Spirit Pen of Inspiration explains, the Lord would give unmistakable evidence of the difference between the power of God and the power of those who claim to be gods. Yeah. So basically, God will clearly show the difference between his power and the power of those who said they were gods. Yeah, God will expose them. When Aaron's staff turned into a serpent and swallowed the serpents of Pharaoh's magicians, God was making a clear statement in that event. Basically, God's making a clear statement, bold statement that says, I am the true God. Your symbols, your magic, your idols, none of them can stand against me. Yeah, we will see the reason why, yeah, in a moment. So you can imagine a child who finds a plastic crown and then wearing it and believes they are the real queen or king, yeah, playing around at home. They strut around giving orders, thinking they are powerful. Yeah. But then the actual true king enters the room wearing the real crown, yeah, and the real robe. And the child quickly realizes their mistakes. Oh, I am not the real one. That's the real one. So, brothers and sisters, Pharaoh was actually like this little child. He wore the crown, he held the staff, but then when the living God stepped in, it was clear who held the real authority. Yeah? And the second lesson we can draw from Sunday lesson is that God confronts the false powers we trust, and the Pharaohs trusted. The Egyptians were even worshipped Nehebkau. Yeah, that's what it says, the name, one of the god. Nehebkau, the serpent god who was said to swallow seven cobras to gain a great power. Yeah, in that story, swallow seven cobras to gain great power. But then in that situation, we see that God sent Aaron's serpent to swallow all the others, showing that the power of Egyptian trusted was simply not a match with the living God. Yeah, Aaron's swallowed it. Aaron's staff turned into a snake, swallow all of them. Again, in page 264 of Patriarchs and Prophets, by this act, the Lord showed that he was superior to all the powers of magic, and that his servants, Moses and Aaron, were the true representative of the Most High. Yeah, it's clearly stated by Ellen G. White there. Even though Pharaoh's magician could imitate the appearance that looks like miracles, they could not stand against the genuine power of God, obviously. Brothers and sisters, in our lives today, the same question stands. What false powers are we trusting? Is it probably our job, our money, or positions, reputations, educations, influence over somebody? Maybe in church, maybe in conference, union, division, or probably general conference. We know somebody or something like that. Sometimes we grip these things tightly, yeah, believing they can make us secure, feeling secure. Yeah. Imagine boarding a lifeboat that looks like sturdy and strong from a distance. It looks like really sturdy. And you cling to it during the storm, but when the waves hit, it begins to sink. And then turn out it was a fake, it was a counterfeit. Yeah. Only the lifeboat built by the master carry us safely. God allows storms sometimes in our life to reveal what we are trusting. Are we clinging to counterfeit lifeboats, or are we anchored in the sovereign God? That's the question we need to kind of ponder. Yeah. We can draw another lesson, the third lesson from Sunday. God must have no rivals. Yeah. Mrs. White says in Messages to Young People, page 90, God will have no rivals. He demands our supreme regard and first place in our affections. Basically, God wants to be the most important in our lives. He expects us to love him above everything else. Yeah. God's purpose in Egypt was to prove unmistakably that he alone is worthy of trust and worship. He still does this in our lives today, but not to crush us, but to free us. from trusting things that cannot save us. Amen. Now the story, we can see it ends with a powerful question for us today. How can we allow the Lord to have sovereignty over any of other gods seeking supremacy in our life? Yeah, they're working hard to get our supremacy in our lives, taking over our lives. Yeah, let's search, think about that. Search our hearts. Is there something I trust more than God? Is there counterfeit power I really cling to in my life? Yeah, maybe we can be like Moses. Trust the God whose power cannot be imitated, whose authority cannot be challenged, and whose love is beyond measure. Let's turn to Monday lesson. The title is, Who Hardened Pharaoh's Heart? Yeah, we'll dive in more deeper. One of the most challenging questions in Exodus story is this, which is the title itself. Who hardened Pharaoh's heart? Yeah. Did God did it? Or did Pharaoh harden himself, his own heart? Yeah. And to answer and help us better understand how God works with human freedom, responsibility, and the choices we make today, let's dive into what the Bible teaches and what God wants us to learn. Number one, Pharaoh chose to harden his own heart. Yeah, he chose to harden his own heart. And in Exodus, from the text there from Monday lesson, Exodus 7, verse 13, 14, and 22, yeah, the Bible tells us that in the first five plagues, all points to Pharaoh's choice. That was all his choices. Yeah? Pharaoh hardened his own heart. He refused to listen. He rejected God's clear warnings. Yeah? And Ellen G. White wrote in Patriarchs and Prophets 268, God's power, each call to repentance, was a step forward to the final decision, which he must make. He refused to humble his heart and persistently rejected the light until he was beyond the reach of the healing influence of the Holy Spirit. God did not force Pharaoh to rebel. He had a choice at the time, yeah? But he chose the wrong. Yeah, think of it this way. The sun shines on both butter and clay. Yeah, it's reflected in that study. The same sun that melts butter also hardens the clay. The difference is not on the sun, but it is the nature of the materials. Yeah, when God's light shines in our hearts, we can choose to be soft like butter or hard like the clay. Yeah, it's all up to us. The heat is the same, but our response determines the outcome. Number two, God strengthened Pharaoh's decision. Yeah, starting from the sixth plague, yeah, we already discussed first and five. And then starting the sixth plague, the Bible in Exodus 9 verse 12 says, the Lord hardened who? Pharaoh's heart. Yeah, that's starting from the sixth plague. Exodus 9, verse 12. The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. This doesn't mean that God forced Pharaoh to commit sin. It doesn't mean like that. It means that God confirmed Pharaoh's stubborn choice. Yeah, he confirmed. Pharaoh chose to be stubborn, but God confirmed. Again, the pen of inspiration says in Steps to Christ, page 27, God does not stand toward the sinner as an executioner of the sentence against transgression, but he leaves the rejecters of his mercy to themselves to reap that which they have sown. Yeah. When Pharaoh continually rejected God, God allowed him to be fully experience the consequences of his own decision. Yeah. Imagine a man who keeps closing the door on someone who is trying to help him. Yeah, knock, knock door, but then keep closing it. Eventually, the helper decided to stop knocking. Yeah, not because they stopped caring, obviously, but because the man's choice is final. He wouldn't open the door. Yeah. God respects our freedom. His spirit will plead, but he will not force us to do things. Yeah. The third lesson for Monday that we can draw, we have free will today. Yeah, it always has been. The story of Pharaoh is not just about the ancient Egypt. It's about us. Story about us. Yeah. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 says, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now, choose life. Yeah. We all have free will. We can choose life or death, obedience or rebellion, softness or hardness. It's all up to us. Yeah. And in the book of Testimonies to the Church, volume 4, page 32 says, it is the duty of every child of God to resist temptation. He can be more than conqueror through him who has loved him. So we're not powerless. We can choose to trust, to obey, and to follow God's voice today. Amen. Yeah. And every day, we stand at that crossroads. One path leads to life, and the other leads to death. Every single decision, big or small, shapes the direction of our hearts. Yeah. And this story, Pharaoh's story, warns us that repeated rejection of God leads to a hardened heart. Yeah. But in the opposite way, repeated surrender leads to softened and trusting heart. Yeah, it's all back to us. Yeah. Again, Ellen G. White wrote in Steps to Christ 54, page 54 says, the Lord never turns away a soul that comes to him in sincerity and humility. Yeah. God is still knocking. He is still giving us opportunities to respond. Yeah. Will we listen or not? It's up to us. Yeah. Let's move on to Tuesday's lesson. Yeah. The first three plagues. Sundays we discuss God versus gods. And then on Monday we learn about who hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now Tuesday, the first three plagues. Yeah. When God confronts false security. So we'll dive deeper in here. The 10 plagues in Egypt were not random disasters. They are not just a random disaster. The Bible tells us that each plague was specifically aimed at the gods of Egypt. It's aimed specifically, yeah? Why? Because God was revealing to Pharaoh, to Egypt in general, and to his people that he alone, quote, is the true God. Yeah, that's the point that God is trying to make to Pharaoh, to his people, and also to the Egyptians, that he alone is the one true God. When we place our trust in false sources of security, God lovingly but firmly steps in to shatter those illusions. Yeah. God confronts the false foundations of life. The first plague struck at Hapi. Yeah, that's the name. It's called Hapi, also known as the god of the Nile. The Egyptians believed that the Nile River was the source of life. Yeah, that's what they believe. All life source from the Nile River. They depended on it for water, food, and survival. But when God turned the water into blood, he showed them that life simply does not come from the river. That's what God's giving them a lesson. It comes from who? From God himself, not from the river. Yeah, they misunderstood. So that's what God is pointing out when the water turned into blood. Life not come from the river, but from himself. Yeah, great controversy, page 606. In every age, God has sent his servants to rebuke sin, both in the world and in the church. But people desire smooth things spoken to them. This is pretty harsh, yeah? And the pure, unvarnished truth is not acceptable. Great controversy, yeah? Basically, throughout history, God has sent his messengers to speak out against wrongdoing, but in society, in our church, and in the church, however, people prefer easy and comfortable messages. People don't like the sword. Yeah, the word of God act like a sword. Yeah, the Egyptians in this story wanted to believe their gods could protect them. But God shattered that belief to reveal the truth, the actual truth. Yeah, imagine a man leaning on a crutch. Yeah, I was on a crutch for a few months from my ACL surgery. Imagine a man leaning on a crutch that he believes he can hold his weight. Yeah, but then when the pressure is applied, the crutch snaps, and then he falls. Yeah, the man shocked, but what happened? The break exposes the weakness that he couldn't see. He thought the crutches can hold his weight, but it breaks. Yeah. Sometimes God has to break the crutches we lean onto in our lives. Maybe the crutches could be money, could be status, position, or probably businesses. Yeah. So that we realize that only He can hold us up, Amen. Not depending on those other etc. things. Number two, God confronts the things we secretly fear. Yeah. The second plague targeted at Heket, yeah, that's the name. Heket is a frog goddess. Yeah, it shows that in the Egyptian mythology, the head is like shaped like a frog with a human body. Heket, the frog goddess, and at the time, frog was considered sacred in Egypt, and symbols of fertility and also symbols of life. Yeah, but then when frogs flooded their homes, beds flooded their kitchens, people began to despise what they once worshipped. Yeah, they worship that, but then when it becomes too much, they begin to despise it. Yeah. Pen of Inspiration says, Testimonies for the Church, volume 4, page 529. The Lord brings men over the ground again and again, increasing their light each time that they may be tested by the trials, especially adapted to develop the right character. In other words, God helps people grow and learn by giving them challenges. Each time they face these challenges, they gain more strength and wisdom to build good character. Now, each of these plagues was another chance for Pharaoh to humble himself. But then what he did? He refused. Yeah, he declined. Each of that plague is an opportunity for him to change, to humble himself, but he decided to refuse. Repeated rejection made his heart becomes harder and harder. Yeah. Imagine begging for a gift and then being overwhelmed when you receive too much of that gift. Yeah, God, I want this. But then you receive too much of that. Yeah, you become overwhelmed. Now, Egypt valued frogs in their belief system, but then when they had overload amount of frogs, which is symbols of fertility and life, or their blessings, it becomes what? The opposite. It becomes curse for them. Yeah. Sometimes what we think we want is not what we really need. Isn't that right? Yeah. The third lesson we can draw from this study, God's power cannot be imitated. That's for sure. Yeah. The third plague, the plague of gnats, we can see that a little bit different. Yeah, Pharaoh's magician tried to copy that, but they failed. Yeah, they say it in Exodus 8, verse 19. This is the finger of God. That's their statement. Yeah, the magician's statement. This is the finger of God. Even the magician recognized that only God can create life. Yeah, false powers have limits. Ellen G. White wrote in The Desire of Ages, page 636, "The Lord gives warning to the world, not to destroy them, but to bring them to repentance." Yeah. Even in judgment, God's goal is to save us. He wanted Pharaoh and his people to turn to him, but Pharaoh refused. Isn't that really sad? Yeah. God kept knocking on Pharaoh's door, plague after plague. Yeah, that's basically God's knocking on the door. Yeah, plague after plague. But Pharaoh kept slamming the door shut. Eventually, the knocking stops. Not because God stops loving, because simply we have firmly chosen our path. Yeah, can't change the mind. Yeah, Pharaoh's story is not just ancient story. It's a warning also for us. Every time we reject God's prompting, our hearts can grow harder and harder. Every time we delay obedience, we risk becoming less sensitive to hearing His voice. Yeah, Mrs. White says in Desire of Ages, page 322, says, "None are in greater danger than those who have long resisted light." Yeah, greater, we're in greater danger because if we are resisting light. Yeah. God's call is clear in this story. Do not harden your heart. Super simple. Yeah. That is simply what God's message for us. What is God asking you to surrender today? That's the application that we can apply the lesson to our life. What is God asking you to surrender today? What Nile are you trusting? Maybe we have a Nile in our life, yeah? What frogs are we crowding our life with? Yeah? Let's not wait for God to break our crutches. Let's willingly lean on Him now. Yeah. That's Tuesday's lesson. Let's move on to Wednesday. Yeah, time is clicking. Wednesday lesson, flies, livestock, and boils. Yeah. When the power isn't enough, the freedom to reject God. Yeah. Someone can experience God's power, see clear evidence of His hand, and still say no. This was Pharaoh's story in this situation. Even as God sent overwhelming signs, Pharaoh stubbornly refused to surrender. His problem was not a lack of knowledge, obviously. Yeah, it was what? A hardened heart. Yeah, that was his problem. It's not because of intelligence issues, but it's just he's hardening his heart. On Wednesday, we will explore how God's power can be undeniable, yet the human heart can still reject Him. The Egyptian worshiped many gods, yeah? Gods of nature, animals, healing, and life. Now, in the fourth, fifth, and the sixth plagues, God directly attacked these false gods. Yeah, we're going to go into it. In Exodus 8:20-24, the plague of flies was actually humiliated the fly god Watchet. Yeah, you can see that on the lesson. And the beetle god named Khepri. Yeah. And then, so basically plagues for flies, humiliating fly god Watchet and also Khepri. And then the plague of livestock defeated the cow goddess Hathor. And also the bull god Apis. I'm not trying to introduce the Egyptian goddess here. This is the point: is God is still in supremacy. God is, I'm introducing this not to giving teachings of Egyptian gods, but that God is basically saying these gods are nothing. Basically, in Exodus 9:8-12, the plague of boils basically crushed the gods of healing, yeah, like Isis, Sekhmet, and also Imhotep. They're really dependent on these three gods for healing, yeah? But then God crushed that because the boils, they can't do anything. The gods cannot help with the boils, yeah? These gods were powerless to protect Egypt, basically, yeah? Ellen G. White wrote in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 268, "The Lord was manifesting His power to compel Pharaoh to submit to His will. But the king was stubborn and rebellious, refusing to yield to the convictions of the Spirit of God." Basically, God was showing His strength to make Pharaoh follow His will. But the king was stubborn and disobedient, not listening to what God wanted. Imagine an alarm clock that rings loudly to wake someone up. Yeah, that's like me. But over time, when the person keeps ignoring the sound, they eventually don't hear it anymore, even though the alarm's still ringing. But the person didn't hear it anymore. Because what? keep ignoring it. Yeah. That was actually Pharaoh in this story. The plagues were God's alarm. But Pharaoh's heart grew deaf of it. Yeah, the same as that man. God's mercy was still evident in that story. Yeah, we can see even as God sent these judgments, he protect his people. Yeah. In Exodus 8:22 says, God says, I am the Lord in the midst of the land. Yeah. He made distinction. That's something that we can hope for. God made a distinction. While the Egyptians suffered, what happened to the Hebrew? The Hebrew safe. Imagine that. To all the chaotic world in our life today, God is making a distinction for his believer. While the Egyptians suffered, the Hebrews are all safe. Yeah? That's amazing. God was still reaching out to Pharaoh, giving him opportunity after opportunity to repent. Ellen G. White wrote in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 333, the plagues were not merely to bring punishment upon the Egyptians, but to bring them to a knowledge of the true God. Yeah. God's goal was always restoration, never been destruction. Always. That's always God's goal. Not destruction, but restoration. At one point, Pharaoh tried to bargain with God. He offered to let Israel worship, but only within Egyptian borders. Yeah? He kind of like decided, okay, but then just do it within the Egyptian border. Pharaoh wanted to look like he was cooperating in that situation, but on his own term, obviously. Yeah? Basically, this is like someone saying, God, I'll follow you, but only if you don't touch my job. That's a slap in our face, correct? Oh, God, I will follow you only if you don't touch my money. Oh, God, I will follow you only if you don't, you know, keep my position or my relationships. You know, this is basically partial surrender. Yeah. Partial surrender is not a surrender. Right? Pharaoh is acting this way, partial surrender. It looks like he agreeing with it, but only, I'll let Israel, but only within the Egyptian borders. God wanted Pharaoh's heart, not just his words. Amen? And repeated rejection hardens the heart. For the first time in Exodus 9:12 says, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Yeah, earlier we see that it's all actions and the initiative of Pharaoh to harden his heart. Now, the Exodus 9:12 says, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, what does it mean by that? But God did not create Pharaoh's rebellion. He simply confirmed Pharaoh's own repeated choices. Yeah? And the Patriarchs and Prophets, page 269 says, when a person keeps ignoring the Spirit of God, it eventually leaves them. After that, they can no longer control their bad feelings and actions. Yeah. Pharaoh's heart was not hardened by God's power. No. It was hardened by Pharaoh's own pride and also persistent rejection. So that's the concept of this. It's like basically someone keeps locking on their doors from the inside. Yeah. Eventually, when a friend knocks, the door won't open because the person inside refused to unlock it. Yeah, God never force. God does not force his way into our hearts. We must willingly open the door. Yeah? Pharaoh's problem wasn't intellectual. He saw the signs. Pharaoh's problem wasn't lack of opportunity as well. God kept giving him chances. Yeah? Plague over plague over plague over plague. But Pharaoh's problem was, in his heart. Yeah? Mrs. White, the pen of inspiration, wrote in The Desire of Ages, 322, says, none are so hardened as those who have resisted conviction again and again. This is a really bold message from Mrs. White. None are so hardened as those who have resisted conviction again and again. This is a warning for us, for all of us. God may speak to us through our daily devotion, yeah, or probably during the sermon, or probably during Sabbath school, or through our life circumstances. That's how God speaks to us. But we must not delay. Yeah. Every time we say, not yet, our hearts grow a little harder every time. Yeah. What is God calling you to surrender today? That's the application we can apply. What is God calling you to surrender today? Is there an area where you've been bargaining in your life instead of fully surrendering? God is not interested in half-hearted obedience. No. He's looking to a complete trust, not like Pharaoh, yeah? Half-hearted. God doesn't like that. He wants a full and complete trust. Yeah. Is there anything that we bargain to God? Yeah, that's something that we can ponder in our lives. Move on to Thursday lesson. Yeah. Thursday, hail, locust, and also darkness. Yeah. The danger of a hardened heart when pride blinds us. Yeah, we're going to dive deeper on Thursday lesson. We're progressing right here. The plagues in Egypt were not just a display of God's power. Yeah. They were act of mercy. Yeah, quote, act of mercy, calling Pharaoh to surrender. But Pharaoh chose pride over repentance. Yeah, that's what he chose. He saw clear evidence. He felt heavy pressure and even briefly confessed his sin, yet he refused to change. Yeah. In Thursday, we will see that we'll explore what happens when pride becomes more powerful than the truth. Okay? And we'll see. The plagues of hail, locusts, and darkness were not just random disaster. They were direct attack on Egypt's most powerful God. Yeah, it's like the climax. Yeah. Basically, that is direct attack on Egypt's most powerful God. Gods earlier, just like probably the not too strong ones. This is the strong one. So, Nut, yeah, the goddess of the sky, called Nut, the goddess of the sky, and also Osiris, god of crops and fertility, could not stop the hail. Obviously, in that Exodus 9, verse 20 to 21. Yeah. And then God sent locusts, yeah, Exodus 10, verse 4 to 20. Even Seth, Shu, and Isis, and Serapis were powerless against it. They cannot stop it. Yeah, those are one of the powerful gods in Egypt, yeah. And even on the darkness, super dark, no light at all, Ra and Thoth, yeah, Ra, the son of God, the sun god, and the moon god, yeah, they were silent. 3 days of darkness. They can't do anything. Yeah, that's written in Exodus 20, verse 21 to 29. They can't do anything about it. Yeah. Patriarchs and Prophets 268. The Lord gave Pharaoh evidence of his power, that he might be led to acknowledge the God of heaven as the only true God. But the king stubbornly refused to yield. Wow, yeah? That's really a bold statement. He stubbornly refused to yield. Yeah, Pharaoh's God were defeated one by one, but Pharaoh's heart still unmoved. Surprisingly, we were thinking that he's going to change, but he was unmoved. Yeah, imagine a driver ignoring all the warning signs, all the signs on the road. Yeah, sharp turns ahead, or stop it ahead, or falling rocks, detour ahead, or steep cliffs, or dead end. All because he is convinced he knows better. Yeah. The road is collapsing up front, but his pride won't let him slow down. Yeah. And Pharaoh was on that dangerous road, basically. Yeah. It's collapsing, but he's not doing anything about it. Lesson number two that we draw from Thursday lesson. Pride makes us bargain instead of surrender. Pharaoh offered Moses a compromise. Yeah, Exodus 10, verse 7 to 11 says, the men could go, but the woman and children must stay behind. See, he's so tight in this situation. Yeah, the men can go, but the woman and children must stay behind. Yeah, Moses rightly basically refused. Pharaoh was willing to obey, but he's doing it on his own term, basically. Yeah, Mrs. White says in Christ Object Lesson, page 283, God does not accept half-hearted service or partial obedience. Those who profess to serve him must accept his authority in every area of life. Every, not just partial. Yeah, Pharaoh didn't want to fully let go of control. Sometimes, are we not doing the same thing in our lives? Yeah, offering God on the areas of life we're comfortable with. Yeah, surrendering. But then holding back on the parts we want to manage. Sometimes I feel guilty on that too. Think of someone who holds onto valuable objects so tightly that their hands are feeling cramps, but they refuse to let go, even though it's causing pain. That was actually Pharaoh. His pride wouldn't release what God asked him to surrender. Yeah. Repeated warnings can be ignored. God gave Pharaoh multiple chances. Even Pharaoh's own servants pleaded with him, let Israel go. Yeah, Exodus 10:7. They saw the destruction. They recognized God's power. But Pharaoh in this story was trapped, not by ignorance, but by his own pride. Mrs. White says, Testimonies for the Church, page 50, volume 5. Pride and self-will stand in the way of many who would otherwise be followers of Christ. When we repeatedly resist God's voice, we risk becoming spiritually deaf. Yeah, just like Pharaoh. When we repeatedly resist, we risking becoming spiritually deaf, just like Pharaoh in this story. Now, a jar is easy to open when it's first sealed, yeah? But when it's left unopened and the lid is tightly secured over time, it becomes much harder to open later. Brothers and sisters, our hearts are the same as that lid of a jar. When we delay surrender, the lid becomes tighter and tightens over time. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit or arrogance before a fall. Pharaoh's story is a living example of this warning. God's message to us is simple. Let go, surrender fully, don't bargain, and don't delay. That is God's message for us. Let go, surrender fully, don't bargain, don't delay. Mrs. White says in Patrick's and Proverb, page 331, if we choose to disobey, God will not force our will, but he will leave us to follow our own course and suffer the results. Pharaoh saw all the miracles, heard the warnings, and received mercy at the same time, but his pride really destroyed him. What is God asking you to surrender today? That's the application for us to question and ponder. Is there an area where you are trying to bargain instead of surrender to God? Let's not wait until our hearts are sealed by pride. Yeah. As we reflect on Pharaoh's story this Sabbath, we must realize that the plagues were not just acts of judgment. It's not a judgment. That is acts of mercy instead. Yeah. Each plague was God knocking on Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh, will you listen to me? Basically, that's what God is saying. Pharaoh, will you surrender now? But Pharaoh's pride was louder than God's voice. Yeah. Pharaoh's tragedy was not that he didn't know God. It was that he refused to yield to him. But here's the good news. We are not Pharaoh. We are not Pharaoh. The door is still open. The voice of God is still calling. God does not want to break us to get our attention, right? He wants us to respond while his voice is still tender. Amen. Before life storms crash in, before our hearts grow cold, it's our turn to respond. Pharaoh's waited for too long. Are we going to wait for too long? God is asking us today, will you let go of that counterfeit powers you trust? Will you stop bargaining and fully surrender? Are we going to choose life in our hearts before it becomes sealed by pride? God's arm is still open. Let's not wait, yeah, for the next plague, the next storm, or the next crisis in our life. Don't wait. Let's say today, Lord, you have my full heart. I surrender all. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I hope you are in learning that the message is really powerful in lesson number 4, as I really enjoy and I'm really learning a lot about the lessons, the plague. So I hope and I pray that God will call you and our hearts not harden to listen to God's call and make actions. I hope everyone is blessed. And if you like to receive a CD or DVD presentation about this Bible study, you can refer to C202530, or you may call us at 916-457-6511, or you may write to us at csh@sackcentral.org. We'll be happy to send that up to your address. God bless you and happy Sabbath.
Let's sing a song with title, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, SDA hymnal number 499. Let's sing all stanzas.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, a peace we often forfeit. Oh, a needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Trouble anywhere, we should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with the load of care? Precious Savior, still a refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Friends despised, forsake thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee, thou wilt find us all as there.